It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, the NFL season is about to kick off in Denver as the Panthers and Broncos get at a rematch of the Super Bowl. But on Sunday, the Chicago Bears head to Houston for a matchup with the Texans. Adam Hoge's been with us the entire season. We're going to talk with him in just a moment about the Chicago Bears season. Some injuries today that made people limited. And I want to talk to Adam as well about how they changed the way the NFL injury report is. So it's now no longer probable and questionable. Now it's questionable. And they use the word limited. They've been throwing it around like hotcakes today. So we'll talk with Adam about that coming up here.
They should just color code it like the terrorist threat level. he's red today, or he's blue.
Yeah, right. You
know, yellow.
I gotta say, and I really want to talk to Adam because you know one of the guys that was on that limited list was Kevin White, and that's scary for a guy who we have had absolutely no luck with in terms of health. I mean, he obviously had a leg issue last year that sidelined him the entire year. It's almost like we need Kevin White to be a second-year player, even though he's never played before.
I'm overstating the obvious here, but if you look at all of the great players in NFL history, the one thing that they all had, along with their skill and talent, of course, was durability.
Yeah.
They were able to stay in the game when they were needed most. And unfortunately, there's some players' bodies that betray them.
Yeah.
And this seems to be one of the cases.
Yeah, I mean, it's young, so let's hope it's nothing. Let's get Adam on the line. He's on the phone now. Adam Hoge, WGN Sports. You can check him out at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Justin. And it's interesting that you guys are talking about this because just finishing up what my column will be later tonight and early tomorrow on WGNRadio.com. And it starts with J.J. Watt and his career. He's never missed a game.
That's unbelievable.
In his career. And it's, you know, I provide a little background because I had the pleasure of covering J.J. Watt when he was in college at Wisconsin. So, you know, he kind of had that same sort of mentality when he was in college. But, you know, we had a chance to talk to him yesterday on a conference call. And he had some interesting things to say about this. One of the interesting things he said was, I was a fan once, too. I grew up watching these teams, and I know what it's like to be a fan. You want to see your best players out there. You want to see your favorite players out there. And I realize they pay me a lot of money to play this game. So, look, there are certainly guys that have legitimate injuries, but this is what I think John Fox is always talking about between injuries and owies. There's injuries and you just can't play. That's one thing. But if you have owies and you can do whatever you possibly can to get out on the field, those are the guys that I think that you and Rob are just talking about
yeah.
in terms of you know, the special guys that are always able to play through the stuff. And
well,
it's not easy, but it happens.
Let me ask you about that as we get ready for the season. It's Thursday before Sunday. Why don't we just do a classic injury report today? A couple guys limited, including Kevin White. What's the prognosis on all the guys who sat out today who are limited for playing on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out more tomorrow when they actually have to designate all these guys. Now, there is one difference on the designations this year. There's no longer the probable designation. It's only questionable, out, and doubtful. So more guys are going to be listed as questionable than ever before
right.
because the probable designation is now gone. But this is what it looks like for the Bears, and I have a feeling that a lot of these guys are all going to be listed as questionable to make it as confusing as possible for the Houston Texans to figure out what's going on. But here's the big ones, and let's start with Kevin White, who is not on the injury report yesterday. He popped up on there today with a hamstring injury. What that usually means when you show up on the injury report when you weren't on the day before usually means it happened today. So he probably suffered a hamstring injury in practice today, which means there's a possibility, if it's serious, that he'll actually be he won't practice at all tomorrow, potentially. So we'll learn a lot more about his status for Sunday based on his participation tomorrow. Saw him in the locker room, didn't look all that serious. But, of course, Alshon Jeffrey didn't look all that serious last year either when we saw him in the locker room every
right,
day.
Right.
And he missed seven games. The other key ones, Kyle Long, obviously still dealing with that shoulder. He's probably going to play this week. I'm not too worried about that. Bryce Callahan, one of the corners, is dealing with a groin. And Kyle Fuller with that knee, you talked to him yesterday. I would say he's legitimately questionable right now to play And it might make sense after having that scope just a few weeks ago to actually wait one more week and let that knee get better before.
Who goes in for Fuller if he can't play? I mean, who's the backups? I know Callahan was hurt. Fuller's hurt. I was listening and reading about the Bears secondary really being not NFL ready in the way
that's sort of a good way to put it. I mean, Bryce Callahan's really the backup. So if he's dealing with an injury too, then he might not be able to play. Also, Callahan's more of the slot corner, and I'm not sure he's best suited to be on the outside anyway. So here's what I'll say. If Kyle Fuller can't play, there's a good chance you're going to see DeAndre Hall, the rookie out of Northern Iowa, the fourth-round draft pick, who had a pretty strong preseason but clearly still going through some growing pains. He's making a huge jump up. Northern Iowa is an FCS-level school. So he didn't even really play true Division One football, and he's jumping all the way up to the NFL, potentially starting Week One, depending on what's going on with Kyle Fuller and Bryce Callahan. Now, I really like Hall. I think he has a ton of potential, and I think he'll probably make some plays on the ball if he does get in the game Sunday, which is a distinct
possibility. Let me ask you, just from your experience, I mean, we won't know till game time, and we probably won't know, more about what John Fox and Vic Fangio want to do this season. But with DeAndre Hopkins, who's the wide receiver for Houston Texans and one of the best in the business, do the Bears go with sort of Tracy Porter, where Porter's like, this is my game now? I'm one-on-one, I kind of drag around the field and I cover you? Or is it the kind of thing that they let the scheme cover Hopkins?
Well, it's a great question, Justin. Now, Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, typically likes to keep corners on each side instead of having, one guy shadow a specific player. Usually just goes left and right with his corners. But that means that if you're the Texans, and let's just say hypothetically it is Tracy Porter and DeAndre Hall, the rookie who's getting the start here, well, you can scheme DeAndre Hopkins to DeAndre Hall's side.
Every time.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And that gives you an advantage. So Vic Fangio might have to do something that he doesn't really like to do a whole lot, which is actually put Tracy Porter on Hopkins. But let's be honest. I mean, Porter's a pretty solid corner. He's not a shutdown corner in this league. So it really speaks to the mismatch that one of the mismatches the Bears have in this game, and I think there are a few. But that it really puts the pressure on the Bears front seven to get after Brock Osweiler, who's going to be making his first start at quarterback for the Houston Texans, who's still young, not a whole lot of experience. And I think the Bears can rattle him, but they got to get to the quarterback because Hopkins is set up to have a huge day.
Okay, so let me ask you about mismatches, both sides. So you just right there, the idea of the Bears secondary, there's a mismatch for the Texans to take advantage of injuries and what the Bears are offering on opening day. What do the Bears have when it comes to mismatch for the Texans? What are the Bears' strength in this game that they can take advantage of a weakness of the Houston Texans?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the Texans' offensive line. So it kind of speaks to what I was just saying. While the Bears' secondary might have a disadvantage in this game, I think their front seven actually has an advantage, and that could allow them to be okay in this football game. But they really have to put the pressure on Houston's offensive line. Now, they added Jeff Allen, which was a big free agent signing, a guard in the offseason that the Bears were actually looking at adding to. But on the rest of the interior of their offensive line, I think the Bears can get after them a little bit. And especially with a rookie, he's definitely not a rookie quarterback, Brock Osweiler, but he kind of still is because of his inexperience.
Right.
And he's going to have a whole lot of added pressure of taking over the Houston Texans' number one job, and he's got that big contract. That's where I think the Bears can really get after the Texans and potentially mask some of the problems they might have in their own secondary.
One of the issues last year, which we saw countless times with the Chicago Bears defense, was with Shane McClellan and others in that linebacking core, almost like a respond and react problem, where there was, they weren't necessarily a fast defense, especially in those positions. They've upgraded this season. Are we going to see a defense that's more reminiscent of Bears of the past, the Urlachers and the Briggs, where they're running to the ball, they're fast, they're hitting? Is that going to be the style of defensive play for a Vic Fangio Bears defense?
Well, I think that's what the hope is. Now, I don't know that they have the greatest speed from top to bottom on this defense, but what they do have is they have a lot of solid football players who have been in the league for a long time. And I think the key word here is instincts. I think they've added and upgraded the instincts on the defensive front, especially at the inside linebacker position, which I think was the biggest problem last year, which was, hey, Shea McClellan, Christian Jones, not the most instinctual players, even though they were relatively fast and relatively athletic, they didn't really seem to know where the ball was yeah. going to be. And on defense, especially in the NFL where the offenses are so fast, that's everything. I mean, you have to be able to anticipate and understand what is happening before it happens. That's the key on defense in the NFL. So I think with bringing in Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman, you could actually argue they got a little slower there. But the instincts should make up for that and actually make overall the defense faster. And I think that's what the Bears' hope is on defense.
All right, let's shift to the offense. Jay Cutler. We were joking a little bit earlier this week that when it comes to quarterback rankings and just preseason, you know, sort of power rankings, Jay Cutler is as valuable as the rookie class of quarterbacks that are coming in. Yeah, especially when it comes to, like, fantasy drafts and whatever. You're like, do I take the backup for the Rams or do I take Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
I mean, they really are not thinking much for him. Do you see Jay Cutler having success against the Houston Texans? And past that, what is a successful season for Cutler?
Well, I think a successful season to start with is what he did last year. And that's really, you know, managed the game. I hate saying that, but he's best as a game manager at this point. He's not going to be that elite quarterback that everyone thought he was going to be when he was drafted out of Vanderbilt. I think we've seen that. It's been a decade now. But he was really good last year, and actually to the point where I thought he should have been in the Pro Bowl over Tyrod Taylor and Teddy Bridgewater, who both got in. I thought Jay deserved it more. So if he has that kind of season again, and most importantly doesn't turn over the ball, that's a very successful season. And he's going to have more weapons this year with Kevin White and Alshon Jeffery to throw the ball to. Well, theoretically, White dealing with his hamstring. We'll see. In terms of this weekend, though, Justin, this is a tough matchup. I mean, you're going up against arguably, man, at least top three in terms of front seven.
Yeah, Watt and Clowney, right?
In the NFL. Yeah, you got Clowney, who seems to be making some strides. You got J.J. Watt, which we talked about, and everyone knows how good he is. You have Whitney Mercilus, who was drafted right after Shea McClellan in 2012. That's the guy the Bears could have ended up with had they drafted differently. There's a lot of good, solid players on this front seven. And what concerns me, look, I actually like the potential of this Bears offensive line, and I think they got a lot better by adding Josh Sitton from the Packers over the weekend. But we're talking about a left guard in Sitton that has been with this team for 3 days, okay? And a rookie, it sounds like Cody Whitehair, what we're gathering is Cody Whitehair is probably going to start at center. So you got a rookie center to begin with. That's tough to be able to understand the mic points and make the correct calls and be in sync with your quarterback. But it's even harder because he was playing left guard the whole preseason.
Let me ask you, Adam, real quick.
Very limited reps at center.
Okay, let me ask you I real quick just about the guy they picked up from the Rams with the tank tops, Kush.
Yeah.
Who was a big star on Hard Knocks. Is he not? Is he going to play? Is he a backup? Is that his role? Is he just not in the factoring into any sort of offensive line help?
Yeah, you know, if you watched Hard Knocks, especially the first episode, you would have thought this guy is like a Pro Bowl
center. Yeah, right.
And the reality is he was always in danger of even making the Rams team and eventually was let go.
Yeah.
And the Bears claimed him. So, look, Eric Kush got all those props on Hard Knocks and kind of became a little bit of a star there. The reality is he's a career backup. I think he's a good pickup for the Bears. In fact, when you kind of got deeper into the Hard Knock season and realized Kush might not make it, I was thinking in my own head, hey, he'd be a great pickup for the Bears. But they got him listed right now as a backup guard. Ted Larson's also going to be one of the backup guards. So Kush can back up at center, back up at guard. That's really going to be his role.
Adam Hogue, wow. Let's get this season started. Adam Hogue, you get to Intentional Grounding. The podcast is out. A new one tomorrow, a blog with J.J. Watt. The Bears, of course, at the Texans on Sunday. Adam Hogue, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk after the game.
All right, awesome, Joe.